Many times in human life, there is a tendency to be concerned for different problems, different worries, different trials and tribulations. You know, life is never so sweet that nothing goes wrong. So, though a person may have their particular agenda of what will happen in their life and how it will happen, it may be that the Prakriti does not allow for those particular desires because they do not fit in her grander scheme. So there are bound to be times in human life when one's desires are thwarted and one feels frustrated, despondent, angry, unhappy, or moved by this experience of clash between one's personal desire and what is provided. So human life is never just a positive flow of getting what one wants. There will always be those times when it isn't quite as you want it, or perhaps it is a great deal different than what you want. But this is unavoidable because the desires of an individual are never entirely compatible with the grand cosmic flow of the universe. Prakriti goes on moving and changing all objects. Human desires, which come from the little I feeling, are to sustain, develop, and enhance the welfare of that little I. But that little I is but a part of a greater whole. And so the whole is really defending its existence. And what is to the welfare of the whole, of which the little I is but a part, may not be the same. The little I is associated with one physical structure and one personality. That physical structure will change over time. The personality will also shift and change, and neither of these are permanent. So there is bound to be some discrepancy between the desires of this small person to maintain permanency in what is temporal and the desires of the divine creatress whom its duty it is to keep the universe in a certain flow of evolution, one form to another, to another, to another. Now, what is the solution in human life to these frustrations that arise due to one's individual desires being thwarted, whether they are large or small? How to cope with this in a good way, in a way that makes the life more harmonious and doesn't bring a great deal of struggle and upset into the life? If you are simply so passive, you will accept whatever comes and goes, you don't care about anything, then what happens? Where is your ideological stance? Where is your feeling for the cardinal human values? whereas your universal outlook, you will accept just anything. So one doesn't want to be just completely devoid of any sort of base in one's life, completely floating here and there. This is no solution, is it? But yet to remain grasping to achieve the fulfillment of one's attachments is bound to lead to disappointment. So one wants neither to be just passive and weak-minded, willing to be pushed here and there, nor does one want to be rigidly attached to the outcomes of one's actions. Rather, it is best if one assumes a certain detachment from the outcome of one's actions, but yet one maintains an attachment to the great. You know, if you are attached to material objects, they come and go in the life. If you are attached even to people, all things in this material world change. But if you are attached to Parampurusha, Parampurusha never changes. He is changeless. He will always be with you. He is the one who is unbound. And he is changeless. So the love of Parampurusha cannot be confined. It cannot be lost. To attach yourself to that which is enduring is very wise in human life, for that attachment will not breed you suffering over time when it changes. And if one attaches oneself to Parampurusha in a very deep way, so that one's vision becomes deep and insightful, one realizes that it is not that one must avoid the love in one's life of others, but only that one must see the truth behind the veil. In the one whom you love, see your Lord always. See that that which you love in that person is the eternal, unchanging, divine self. It is the Purusha, the conscious, awakened self, shining in the eyes of another. And so one's heart goes out and one feels the connection, the freedom from the bondages of separation. And in that, the little I finds the delight of love. And in that love, one feels, one transcends one's littleness. But to whom is that love directed? That which is so beautiful, so charming, so cared for in another. Is it not the radiance of the divine coming in the form of another? So wherever your heart is given, wherever your heart finds association, connection, wholeness, do you not find your Lord? Is he not in all? Is there anywhere he does not abide? But your boundaries of isolation get dissolved in the moments of connectedness, association, and love. Recognize him always around you, in all people, in all circumstances, and then you will be in the world, but not of it. And in this deep perception, the heart may be given fully, and love unconditional attained. And then one becomes untroubled by the changing world. If today life goes your way, all right. If tomorrow it doesn't, all right, for you perceive the one beloved, the one changeless one, always there in all circumstances. And in this perception, you are freed from the bondages of good and evil, of right and wrong, of that which is pleasing and that which is not pleasing. For there remains only the one self, only the infinite Purusha, manifesting in a myriad of colors and forms and experiences. There is nothing to run after. There is no place to run. There is no need to run. That which is within you. And all around you, every moment. Only you must remove the veil of ignorance from your eyes to perceive the beatitude of the infinite, the Lord of all, the Divine Purusha. Then everything takes a different meaning. So this is what is cultivated through Brahmasadhana and all the practices of yoga. All right? Are there any questions?